Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us there this morning. Before we begin this time of praise and worship, just a couple announcements to highlight. If you'll turn to the back of your bulletin, there will be no trustee meeting for the month of September, and that is not in your bulletin. So if you are a trustee, there will be no meeting for the month of September. You will pick up your normal meeting schedule for the month of October. And I also want to highlight the special charge conference meeting that we will have right here in the sanctuary immediately following the service. Anyone who is a member of Trinity, we invite you to stay and learn and hear of, you know, some of the changes that are going to be taking place here at Trinity, and then you will be voting. So if you are a member of Trinity United Methodist Church, please plan on staying for a special charge conference immediately right after the worship service today. Also, we have several different new studies taking place and beginning at the end of this month. On September the 28th, which is a Monday, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., we will begin a marriage class, and John and Julie Estep will be teaching that. And so if you are interested in that, or if you know someone within the community or a relative that is just in the process that would be beneficial to them, please send them to that class. We would love to have them be involved. And then Nick Blasi and myself, we will be beginning a confirmation class. And this will start on September the 27th, Sunday evenings, from 6 to 7:30. And it's for any youth that are between the ages of 10 and 14. If you have questions about that, you can read about the information on the different studies. And you can see me after the service or any of the individuals that are listed, you know, that are involved in those studies as well. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's go before our coming King, our Healer, our Savior, and our Sanctifier, Jesus our Lord, as we open this time of praise and worship here this morning. Oh, gracious God, we bless you this morning, and we thank you for being a good God, for being the loving Savior that you are. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for the strength that you bestow upon all of us from on high. We thank you, O Lord, that you inhabit eternity. And we thank you, precious Jesus, that you are merciful, loving, forgiving, and kind. You are meek. You are mild. And so, Father, we bless you now. We turn our hearts toward you. We set our minds on the things above, the things of heaven. We say, Lord, take this service. Use it. Glorify yourself through it and by it and for it. And may your Holy Spirit awaken our hearts and quicken our minds and place our feet into actions that would be serving you. And so, Father, may you be blessed. May everything that is said here, done, and everything that is sung here be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And Lord Jesus, just glorify yourself. We bless you now, and we thank you and we praise you. For it is in the mighty name of Christ, our risen Savior, we do pray. Amen.
Yes. Lord, he is with us forever and ever, and he's going to carry us through anything. All we have to do is reconcile ourselves with God. All we have to do is put him first in everything. And reach out to others that don't know the Lord and allow them to put God in their lives. Let God work with them and you work with them with what you know. And God will lead and direct you because there is power in the blood. There is mighty power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
This last verse is so important. I'd like to ask you, what are you doing to just do God's work and service for Him? Just listen to these words on verse number 4 and sing from your heart.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Let's sing it for the Lord.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
As we bow our heads, Lord, allow us to do service for you, Lord. Allow us to know you, Lord, and let us not be afraid to step out. Because we live in a world today that doesn't want us to talk about you, that doesn't want us to be at the workplace or any place and mention God or Jesus or anything about you. Lord, we have to find ways to do service for you. We have to find ways to talk to others about you. Lord, allow us to have that strength and that courage to step out and do that so we can help others reconcile their lives. And if we're doing anything that needs reconciled with you, Lord, allow us to search our hearts and reconcile ourselves with you too, Lord. For you are there with us, and you only want the very best for us. There isn't anything that you won't do for us. We just need to believe and have faith and trust in you. Lord, I want us to learn to listen to your word, and softly and tenderly you do speak to us, Lord, through the circumstances and through things that happen in life, Lord. And just through other people, Lord, just allow us to be open-minded to your word. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are sinners, come home. Honestly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and
As we bow our heads, Lord, we do thank you for being there for us, Lord, and taking away the sin, sending your only son to die on the cross so we may have a future, a bright, bright future, no more past, but just a bright future. All we have to do is reconcile our lives with you and be able to have the faith and the courage to step out and help others that need to find you, Lord. Father, we ask a special blessing over this church, Father, and all that you're doing and the message today. May it be received. Lord, in all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. You may be seated. This is a reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. You can follow along with me in your pew Bibles on page 1832. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile him to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, no present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of God. At this time, Children's Church is now dismissed. I invite the grades pre-K through 5th to line up at the door.
We fall. down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We fall down. We lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series titled God the Evangelist. And I want us to really grasp exactly the heart of God. And last week, we looked at what God's will was and how He willed that none would be lost, that all people would come to saving faith and repentance in Him. This week, we're going to look at God's call for you and for me. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope you have. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we will find this on page 1798 and 99. We will begin at verse 11 of chapter 5. And we are going to settle in and really focus on verse 18. And really that's our whole message. But follow along as we look at the context of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, beginning in verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, as He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Clarence E. McCartney tells the story of a husband and wife who became estranged, and they had decided to separate. They moved away and lived in different parts of the country. The husband happened to return to the city on business, and he went out to the cemetery, to the grave of their only son. Standing by the grave, he heard a step behind him. When he turned, he saw his estranged wife. The initial impulse of both was to turn away and to walk away from one another, but they had a common interest in that grave. And instead of turning away, they clasped their hands over the grave of their son, and the husband and wife were reconciled one with another. They were truly reconciled by death. You see, friends, we need to grasp what the heart of God is. And in this text, we really see what God's heart is. We have a world that we live in that teaches that we need to be the motivating factor and the catalyst for what reconciliation and when it takes place. Hear that. Our world tells us we must be the ones to step forward to seek reconciliation, even when we are the ones that have been offended. And I want you to hear God's heart. God has been offended by you and me. God has been offended by the sins of all people. And even though he had no reason nor any desire to really say that, hey, you know what, you guys ought to come to me and really to levy that on you and me, his heart was this: I did no wrong. I did nothing to compel me to reconcile with you. You are the offender. You are the ones that did wrong in my sight. And we see the heart of God in verse 18, if we can get that up on the screen. The heart of God, all this is from God, who was the motivating factor to be reconciled with you and with me. You see, he gave his only son. Scriptures attest that we were sin, and when we were sin, he sent Jesus to die for you and for me. And when we were estranged from God, when we were separated from the Holy of Holies and the one who inhabits eternity, it was God who came to you and to me. It was God who came in Jesus, the Son of God, who he sent his only begotten Son, the unique Son, the special Son, the fully man, fully God, the one who was able to bring about reconciliation for you and for me. I've got news for you, friends. There's nothing that you could ever do, nothing that I could ever do, nothing that we could ever accomplish in this life that would accomplish full reconciliation with the Holy God. We were that indebted to God. We were that in trouble. We were that in a state of dire distress. And even when we didn't call, even when we didn't seek God, even when we did nothing to deserve the merit and the love of God, God says, Jesus, you go. God says, you go. Because, friends, that's the heart of the God that we serve. He is the one who stepped forward, and it's over the grave of Jesus Christ. It's the death and the resurrection of Jesus that you and I are reconciled to God. It's only in Christ. We got to get out of our mind the thought that I'm doing this and this makes me better than, this makes me more acceptable, this makes me more approvable. No. No. Get that out of your minds. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing anyone can do. It's over the grave of Jesus Christ. And the reason why Jesus was resurrected is because the wrath of God passed over and it approved, and God the Father approved the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf and on mine. And all of this is from God. Every bit of it is from God. I want you to underline in your own Bibles the word all. Nothing is from you. Nothing is from me. It's all from God. It's all his initiative. It's all his doing. It is nothing that we do. It is nothing that we could ever do. It's all from God. And friends, that's the heart of love. That's the heart of a loving Heavenly Father that you and I serve. That's the heart of a loving God, a merciful God, a kind God, a true God who says, I understand your plight and you can seek all you want, because friends, from the beginning of time,
all people have sought to be reconciled to the gods. And that's why many of the other worship of the false gods, they continue to offer penance. They continue to seek to be reconciled and to be in a good standing with God. And friends, if you are in Christ, if you have placed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have been truly reconciled with God. You have been made acceptable to God, a holy God. You have been brought near when you and I were afar off. And it's over the grave of Christ that we grab the hand of God and we say, thank you. It's over the grave of Jesus that He brings us near. There are scriptures all throughout the New Testament that will test this, things like this. You once were darkness. Not you once were in darkness, but it attests that you and I were darkness. Now, if God is light, we weren't in the light. We were darkness. That should tell us how much we were estranged from a holy God. And even when we were so much of an offense to Him, the book of Romans tells us that even when we were an offense to the risen Lord, even when we were an offensiveness to Him, He sent Jesus for you and for me to bring us near to Him. And it's over the grave of Christ. And it's rejoicing knowing that Jesus was resurrected, which tells us His sacrifice was approved by God the Father. And so, friends, we need to grasp the heart of God, and it's a heart of love. It's God is the only one, and He is the one who initiates reconciliation with you and with me. We need to settle this in our soul. We need to settle this in our mind. And we got to stop striving. We must stop striving to be better than, to do things, to in our feeble little minds to say, I can do this and it makes me more acceptable to God. Friends, I got news for you. There is nothing you can do, nothing I can do. It's in Christ that we are made acceptable to God. And friends, we need to grasp that God was the offended party and He takes the lead in seeking peace with you and with me. God was the offended. He was the one who was offended. We were the offense. And Jesus steps forward and takes the lead and says, I want to be reconciled with you because I am being motivated by love. That, friends, is love. The second thing out of verse 18 that we can see is we can see the commission of God, and who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. And this is a commission of all people. It's God's commission to you and to me. And God calls all followers of Jesus to share His message of peace with all people. You know, we join here every Sunday morning and we worship God. And I want you to see this, that our worship goes heavenward. And when we praise and we sing and we pray, it goes heavenward. And the ministry from God comes down earthward. And the ministry is placed upon you and on me. Now, many Christians, they tell me all the time, and they say this, I haven't been given a ministry, and I got news for you, friends. All believers have been given this ministry of reconciliation. And it's a ministry that we have the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to stand and to point people to Christ, the risen Savior, the loving Lord Jesus. And we have that privilege that God has blessed us with, that ministry of reconciling people unto a holy God. Now, we can't reconcile them. It's Jesus. But we have the honor to be an integral part, because that, my friends, is what God has commissioned you and I to, is to be agents of reconciliation, to be ambassadors of God. We're told in verse 20 that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. He has given us. You think about dignitaries that go and they travel into foreign countries, and you think about the authority that they carry. You and I, we carry that same authority, and we have the honor to pray for people, to walk with people, to point them, to be the walking letter so that when they look at you and me, they see the reflection of the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, our Lord. They may not see us. They should see the reflection of God. Jesus is the light. I am the light of the world. Matthew 5, verse 18 says this, let your good works shine, therefore, before all people, so that they may see them and they may give glory to God the Father. You see, that's being part of the ministry of reconciliation. And God has given you, He's given me, this same ministry. And God has, who, through Christ, reconciled us to Himself. This mindset in our country is a mindset that I come into Christ and then I sit and I receive all the blessings and there's no responsibility and God has all the responsibility and He does everything and He takes everything. And friends, there's nothing further from the truth. God has called us to be servants of Him. He has called us. He has saved us to a point of service. He has saved us to a point of serving Him. And if there's no other way, then it's being an agent of reconciliation in this fallen world. And that, my friends, is what we should be about. And God calls all followers of Jesus to be His representatives. Now think about this. Let this sink in. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I say, we are God's representatives. A foreign dignitary is one who speaks on behalf of another. And friends, you and I are the same. We are the ones that speak on behalf of Jesus our Lord. And that's a frightful thought. It's a fearful thought. Because we always remember the negative. We always remember our faults, our flaws, our failures, and those shortcomings. But friends, it's in Christ. It's in His power. It's in His authority. And as we seek Him, as we reckon with this truth, as we understand that we are agents of the ministry of reconciliation of a fallen people, a sinful people, to a holy God, then we will grasp the power of the risen Christ. And we will walk in His power, not in our own. You see, when we strive to be reconciled in our own ability, in our own attempts at living a life that we deem to be acceptable and good enough, we're operating in our own power. We're operating in our own strength. We're operating in our own ability. When we accept that it's Christ and Christ crucified, and we accept that He has bought and purchased and reconciled us to a holy God, then we begin, at that moment in our very lives, we begin to operate in the power of the resurrected Christ. What we say, what we do, where we go, it all becomes transformed. No longer is it us that's striving for something. Then it's Jesus living through us. And He is living out the ministry of reconciliation out through your life and mine. And that's a joyous, glorious endeavor. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege and honor to walk with our Lord in this. So this is the commission of God. The last thing we can see out of this verse is this. Now remember, we finished the series on worship. And now we're moving out and we are talking about evangelism. Last week we saw God's heart, and this is God's call on all people. This is God's call to be agents of reconciliation. And here's the responsibility. And this is the responsibility of the church that God gave. It doesn't say He is giving. Gave, past tense. He gave it to you. He gave it to me. And it's our responsibility what we are to do with it. He gave it to us. And He gave you and me the ministry of reconciliation. You see, friends, God makes His appeal to others through you and through me. Let that sink in. God makes His appeal. Even when we don't speak, He makes His appeal to other people through you and through me. Now we begin to see the severity and how much we need to really examine our lives and see if they measure up to what God would have us do and what God would have us live like, because it's His appeal. It's not our appeal. He gives His appeal to all people that we come across, and that's why I personally believe there is no encounter that is by chance. They're all divine appointments because God has a message. We already established that God's heart is a heart of love, and He wants that all people would come to repentance and saving knowledge of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it's His appeal that He wants to send through your life to another person. What responsibility? What charge? What an awesome privilege to know that at some integral part in someone's life, when they're searching and seeking, that God is speaking a message to them through your life. That's being part of the ministry of reconciliation. It's God's appeal, friends. It's not ours. It's the Apostle Paul, I think, in verse 20. He says, be reconciled to God. He says it right in that chapter, those verses that we read. And he is imploring them, but it's not his appeal. He is merely stating God's appeal. And that's why when you read the book of Corinthians, he says, we purposed in our heart not to do certain things, to do certain things, because he didn't want to encroach on God's appeal to them. It's God's appeal, not ours. And the responsibility of the church is that God requires all people to respond in one way or another to his offer. No response is a response. You see, we're not responsible for people. We're responsible to God. We're responsible to the living Lord. And we're responsible to the one who is holy, the one who is perfect, the one who has called us and given us the ministry of reconciliation and what we do with that responsibility. That's who we're responsible to. Now, what they do with it, that's on them. It's not on us. And so, friends, God requires all people, when they are outside of a relationship with Christ, he requires all people to respond to that offer. Some will accept, some will reject. So what are we to do with this? I'm going to give us three things real quick, and then we're going to close here this morning. The first thing is we need to pray. We must pray. We must pray, 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 and then pray some more. We have to pray. We have to bathe everything in prayer. We have to seek the living Lord. We've got to pray. I don't know about you, but lately I've been drawn to those people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I have been just capitalizing my personal quiet time. We've got to lift them up before the Lord, and we have to ask that the Holy Spirit would draw them unto himself, and we have to pray and pray and pray and pray. We've got to pray. If we don't pray, we're operating our own strength. Good luck with that one. You pray, you pray, and you pray. You pray and pray and pray. And when you're all burnt out and tired, you pray some more. And then when you think you can't pray anymore, you say, Lord, you pray. And we trust in the fact that the book of Romans says, even when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit utters groanings unintelligible to people and prays on our behalf. And we stand on the fact that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he is interceding on our behalf. And we understand if he's praying, if the Holy Spirit is praying, we must pray. We've got to pray. No prayer, no reconciliation. Every one of you in here, I'd venture to guess, in my personal life, I can go back to a great, great, great grandmother who I never met, who's praying. She thought that her grandfather would be a pastor. He never did. Every one of you in here, if you are in a relationship with Jesus, I am going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say that someone, somewhere along the lines, had been praying for you. How can we do any less? So we pray. The second thing we must do is we must participate. We have to participate with God. We have to accept the responsibility, but we participate with purity. And hear that. Purity in your life and my life. Purity in our actions. Purity in our motives. Purity in our soul. Purity in our intentions. Purity in our agenda. And we must participate, not only accepting, okay, Lord, what would you have do through me? What is it that you would have me do? And we participate with God's will. We participate by allowing him to flow into our life so that we can allow him to appeal to others through us. And we participate by moving those things out of our life that have no business in your life or mine. We get rid of them. We participate. And the third thing is we powerfully witness. My friends, the first two, if you do those, The third will come naturally. And I'm not talking about going and speaking to individuals and walking up to people and doing the cold knuckle knocking on the individual's doors. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is if you think that you can go out and powerfully witness in your own strength and ability without praying or without participating with God, you've got something coming to you because you can't. If you pray, if I pray, if you participate and I participate with God, the third will come naturally and you will begin to be stunned at what God does through you and what God does in other people's lives because of his appeal. That's the key, friends. You pray, you participate, and then you powerfully witness in God's strength, in his Spirit. Do the first two, the third is automatic. And so, friends, that's God's call for you and for me, is to be ministers, agents of reconciliation. And as the husband and wife were estranged and they got back together over the grave of their son, so you and I were reconciled over the grave of Christ Jesus. And because he was resurrected, we have the privilege and the honor and the awesome opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation unto this fallen world, to be ambassadors for him. There's no higher calling, friends. There is no higher calling than to participate with God's will and his desire for people in our world. There is no higher calling. I don't care, you can tell me what occupation you think is a higher calling. There is no higher calling because you and I, we have the privilege and the opportunity to connect people to a holy God, to a risen Savior, to a risen Lord, to connect people to the one who inhabits eternity, who uses the earth as his footstool, who is vast, who is incomprehensible, who is immeasurable. That should give you chills. Praise be to God. Let us pray, let us participate, and may God powerfully witness through all of us. Let's bow your heads and your hearts. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, O Christ, for your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for your love. And Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and the honor and the opportunity and the responsibility that it is to walk with you and to seek your face, to pray to you that you would move in the hearts, you would woo the hearts of people unto you. And O precious Jesus, may we participate with you. May we participate in walking with you and accepting our responsibility. And may we participate in removing those things from our life that have no place. And may our participation be a participation of purity in mind, heart, and will. And may you truly, powerfully witness through all of us to expand your holy kingdom, to find the lost. Your word tells us that there's more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner that repents than over the 99 that were already there. And so, Jesus, that's our heart, is to find that which was lost, to seek and to save and to allow you to flow through us, to enlarge your kingdom, to be about what your heart is about and what your will is. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for the privilege and the honor that it is to be used like this in your kingdom's sake. We bless you now in the wonderful and the holy and the gracious and the precious name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor the Lord. Jesus Christ has set me free.
Before we close here this morning, just one last reminder. There's a special charge conference right here in the sanctuary immediately after the service today. May the love of Jesus, your Lord and Savior, may it saturate your soul, and may his abiding presence fill your mind and quicken your heart and place your feet in walking and following the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and mine. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of Christ rest heavily upon you. And may it be the adornment of your soul. Amen.
Let the weak say, I am strong.